Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Monday, January 30th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Kentucky loses another one at home to a highly ranked team. The Pro Bowl is another snoozer. Yet another story of how college football recruiting is out of hand. One ESPN reporter might not have her priorities in order. And we look to continue our streak of 11 out of 12 basketball picks with another one for tonight. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Kansas 79, Kentucky 73 on Saturday night. In a game where Kentucky, early in the game, looked like they had the game in control and then completely lost control almost by the end of the first half. With 3:23 to go in the first half, Kentucky had a 93.1% chance of winning the game. Of course, they didn't. So Bill Self, now 16-4 during his time in Kansas when he plays against top five teams. Best player on the court for Kentucky, Derek Willis, 25 minutes, 18 points. On 5 of 6 three-point shooting and 6 rebounds. Worst player on the court for Kentucky, Wenyen Gabriel, not even close, 14 minutes, 0 points, 0 of 3 three-pointers and only 2 rebounds, and that's how he's been making his hay recently, is by rebounding the basketball. And this goes back to the conversation that we've been having on this show for weeks now. This game is about defense and Kentucky's lack thereof. First 10 minutes of the game, Kentucky only gave up 9 points. The rest of the game, they gave up 70, including 52 points in the second half alone. If you look at the AP Top 25 poll for this week, Kentucky's defense, if you use the defensive quotient, adjusted scoring margin, and that's something we use on this show to try to prognosticate games quite a bit, there are only 2 teams ranked that have a worse defense than Kentucky does, UCLA and Creighton. And we've talked about UCLA all season being a fraud. And as time goes on, they are showing their fraudulent nature. So although Ken Pomeroy does have Kentucky as the 12th best defensive team, the ESPN BPI has Kentucky's defensive efficiency at 13th, only among top 25 ranked teams. So now Kentucky, when they score less than 85 points this year, which has only happened 4 times, they're 1-3 in those 4 games. So now you have to figure out, and you have to determine for yourself, what's really causing all this? Kentucky's still ranked number 8. They still only lost 4 games this year. And 3 of those games were to teams that have been ranked in the top 10 at some point during the season. So is it time to give up on Kentucky completely as a team that could possibly win a national championship? If you remember last year's team, at the end of January, they lost at Kansas and then lost at Tennessee. Sound familiar? This past week, they lost at Tennessee and then lost to Kansas. After those 2 losses last year, they won 11 of their next 12. But granted, those 12 games were against the SEC, which wasn't exactly going through an ACC-type schedule. If you look at Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology, the number 1 seeds are Villanova, Baylor, Kansas, and Gonzaga. But if you look at the number 2 seeds, they're Kentucky, Louisville, North Carolina, and Arizona. For my money, the number 2 seeds are in better shape than the number 1 seeds. And if you look at Joe Lunardi's actual bracket, in the region that Kentucky is in, the number 1 seed is Baylor, 2 would be Kentucky, 3rd is Florida State, 4 is UCLA, and 5 is Duke. I'll guarantee you Kentucky would take their chances in a region like that and feel very good about making the Final 4. And in fact, going by Joe Lunardi's column and then using the ESPN TeamRankings.com projections, they actually have Kentucky as the favorite to win the national championship based on Lunardi's bracket and the TeamRankings.com numbers. So to sit here and give up on this team on January the 30th, as if those last 2 losses have meant that this team is screwed for the rest of the season, that's way premature. There are a lot of problems with this team, especially on the defensive end. But to give up on this team as a team that's not qualified or not good enough to win a national championship, that's just wrong. Speaking of bracketology, there are now 4 teams from the SEC in this bracket. Kentucky, Florida, South Carolina, and Arkansas. While Georgia is one of the last four out, and I'm sure if they had that game against Texas A&M back, which they should have won, and not only did they blow it, but they were robbed at the end, they might be in the tournament. After the Kansas game, Don Calipari came out and said, "We don't have any toughness." But I just remember while I was watching that game, when Kansas went to that zone defense, I immediately flashed back to 2010 when West Virginia, an undermanned West Virginia team in the Elite Eight, threw a zone out there on Kentucky and they couldn't hit shots to save their lives. But what's really going on with Kentucky? Calipari came out with a book at the beginning of the season. He was promoting his book. Now he has a podcast that he does during the week on his off days. And in fact, the next podcast will have Drake on it talking about what an impact that Coach Calipari and Kentucky basketball has made on his musical career. Good Lord, really? Calipari wouldn't know Drake's music from Liberace's music. And that's saying something. Calipari might have allegedly made some kind of impression on Drake, but Drake has not made any impression on Calipari. I can promise you that. But the game on Saturday, it seemed to be about everything other than the game. ESPN Game Day was there. You tried to break a noise record during the game. Michael Buffer got shipped in for another $15,000 plus travel expenses. And I tweeted this out during the game. Darren Revell, one of the most hated people on Twitter, released the fact that Buffer charged Kentucky $15,000 plus travel expenses every time he comes to Kentucky just to do his little intros. By the way, how long were those intros? Maybe 2 minutes? $15,000 for 2 minutes. Wow. And he did it before the season at Midnight Madness. So they've given this Michael Buffer guy $30,000 plus paid for all his travel, and I can promise you he's not sitting in coach. And you don't think there are some kids out there that could use some help with their student loans right now that are struggling to get through school working jobs? You don't think they could have used that $30,000 that Kentucky just coughed up for no reason, basically, to get Michael Buffer to come to town? Oh, and by the way, how long has it been since Michael Buffer was, like, truly relevant? The 80s and 90s are long gone, and you can only milk this Let's Get Ready to Rumble thing for so long. So don't sit there and tell me that Michael Buffer's relevant. He barely was 30 years ago. Oh, and I saw with a minute to go in the game, I saw the lower level of that place emptying quickly, walking out of that gym, walking out of that arena, right behind the Kentucky bench. You don't think people saw that on television? Go back and watch that. There's a lot of people with a minute to go, and Kentucky only down six. There's a lot of people getting out of there quick so they could beat that horrible, terrible Lexington traffic. And somebody who lived in Atlanta for over 20 years, don't you dare bring me that terrible Lexington traffic. You don't even know what traffic is. And if you're playing Kansas, apparently if you walk around dressed up like characters from The Wizard of Oz, you get on TV about 3 gazillion times. Because I saw those characters on all day long, from game day all the way through the game. You don't think that little concept has been played out ad nauseum? Yeah, I don't think so either. Yeah, I think it has too. But these clowns got on TV all day long. God bless them. The numbers still like Kentucky, though. Ken Pomeroy has Kentucky currently number 3 in the nation. The ESPN BPI has Kentucky number 7. Jeff Sagarin still hanging in with Kentucky at number 3. So it's not time to write off this team yet. Does it seem like there's a circus going on around? Does it seem like there's a circus going on around this team sometimes? Yes, it does. Is that why they're losing basketball games? I don't think so. But it's still not a good look. Up next, tomorrow night, Georgia comes to town in a game that will be most known for being Brett Musburger's last as a play-by-play announcer.
You are looking live at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta.
Other college basketball over the weekend. On Sunday, Louisville defeated North Carolina State by 25 points. Louisville ranked number 4 across the board, Pomeroy, BPI, and Sagarin. But for me, the real story here is North Carolina State. How do you win 3 games this year? You go to North Carolina, lose by over 50. Then you go to Duke early last week and beat Duke at Duke. And then yesterday you go to Louisville and get beat by 25. Typical Mark Gottfried, typical North Carolina State. As schizophrenic and as unpredictable as any team in college basketball. And they'll never make the tournament that way.
It's down to 7 seconds. Wittenberg, oh, it's a long ways. Oh!
They won it! On the dunk!
And the team of destiny, the Cardiac Kids, North Carolina State, has captured their second NCAA championship. Have you ever seen more emotion than at the end of this game?
Speaking of teams making the tournament, Northwestern, who we touted on this show earlier in the season, now 7-2 in the Big Ten after defeating Indiana yesterday. Indiana now 14-8 on the year. And their best player, James Blackman Jr., is now injured. Yeah, this season might be the last for Tom Crean in Indiana unless they win out and somehow make the tournament.
Who do you think you are? I am.
The number one team in the nation, according to today's new AP poll, of course, Gonzaga. Do they deserve it? Eh, we don't think so. But then again, name three teams in the West Coast Conference that they're playing in. Exactly. Loyola Marymount, Pepperdine, Santa Clara, Portland. The list goes on. Last week's top 10 lost 9 games, including 2 by Kentucky. Probably the game of the week that was yesterday, though. Virginia traveled to Villanova. Villanova won the game at the buzzer, but if you look at the Ken Pomeroy rankings before yesterday's game, Virginia was number 2, Villanova was number 4. After yesterday's game, Virginia is still number 2, Villanova number 6. What does that tell me? Virginia played very well. Nova was favored by 5.5 in this game, but that's a typical Virginia game you saw yesterday. Get out to an early lead, slow the game down, and slowly but surely, Virginia chokes it away, just like they had the last 2 years in the NCAA tournament. So Virginia, a sabermetric darling, yet again finding a way to burn their supporters.
Number 1 seed Oregon lost. Number 1 seed Kansas lost. Are we about to see our third number 1 go down? And if we don't see our third number 1 go down, Kevin, it'll be the biggest miracle in the history of the NCAA tournament. Syracuse was down by 16. Jim Boeheim and Syracuse have done it. They're going to the Final Four.
More weekend college basketball. Why is everyone buzzing about Arizona basketball? They've won 14 in a row now. Their only losses are to Butler and, of course, Gonzaga, but people will argue the Gonzaga game, they didn't have 2 of their best players at the time. Then again, I look at their schedule, and Arizona's best 3 wins on the year are at UCLA, home against Utah, and a neutral court win against Michigan State, who has proven to be fraudulent in many ways. So the jury still way out on Arizona, although the talking heads at ESPN are talking like Arizona is a Final Four team just waiting to happen. We don't believe it just yet. Let's see some more games first out of them.
Arizona's got a chance. No! Checked out! Santa Clara wins! Final score, Santa Clara 64, Arizona 61.
Of course, Duke played Wake Forest over the weekend. Grayson Allen got into another altercation. It just seems like people want to just punch this kid so bad. It's almost like a bully mentality, and he's the one who's being bullied now. And if you saw what happened on Saturday, he was shoved to the bench by a guy. But somehow, Duke came back and won a game against Wake Forest that they had absolutely no business winning. A major choke job by Danny Manning and Wake Forest. But Duke finally settling down on the fact that Luke Kennard is their best player. Even with Grayson Allen, even with those 3 freshmen that were supposed to be NBA lottery picks, Luke Kennard is the best player on this team, and it's not even close. And the sooner that this team realizes it and lets him be the man, so to speak, the better off this team will be.
Larry Johnson brings the ball up.
Looks like he wants to go all the way with it.
He's outside now, stopping his dribble. Leitner on him. Hunt will have to do something.
Look at force three.
Three. Off the back.
And it was very good to see Roy Williams channel his inner Bobby Knight and take his frustrations out on a chair during their loss to Miami, a game correctly predicted here on the bottom line, showing that even good old Roy, who still wears those 1970s checkered jackets, can't just show up on the road to the ACC and expect to win no matter who they play.
They offer you the job, though. Would you be willing to take it?
I'm not,
I haven't thought about that for 1 second. And the guy in your ear that told you you have to ask that question, as a journalist, that's fine. But as a human being, that's not very nice, because it's not very sensitive. And I got to think that in tough times that people should be more sensitive. I could give a about North Carolina right now.
Yes, the week between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl, like the NFL Pro Bowl. If you had the AFC and the under last night, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. Star of the game, Kirk Cousins, who apparently did not care that he had millions of dollars on the line when he chased down a guy and gave him a big tackle. Maybe he got some street cred for that. Who knows? ESPN has 42 experts that made predictions before the season started. Zero of those experts, using that term very loosely, had Atlanta making the Super Bowl, much less winning it. And of course, both teams now on their way or in Houston for the Super Bowl. Matt Ryan said before he left Atlanta on Sunday, to be the best, you've got to beat the best. Apparently channeling his inner Ric Flair, who used to say the exact same thing. Now, if Ryan came out and told Tom Brady that his wife Giselle was his before he was yours, now you've got something.
You know what this means? It means Randy Savage Elizabeth was mine before she was yours. Woo! Yes! And yes, if you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to follow that act? You can't.
It all depends on who you are in life. John Lynch was very happy just being an announcer a few weeks ago. And then when his old pal Kyle Shanahan became a front runner for the 49ers job, and since John Lynch had played for his father, Mike Shanahan, in Denver, Lynch called up on good old Kyle and said, hey, can I be your general manager? He just volunteered. Bingo bango, a couple weeks later, John Lynch is now the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers after never having worked one day in a front office after he stopped playing football. It's all about who you are in life, ladies and gentlemen, and what your last name is. And if this doesn't prove it, nothing will. Oh, but he's got a Stanford education. A lot of people have good educations in life that don't get the jobs they deserve. Just saying.
I've always believed brains will defeat brawn any day. I give you the genius.
This week might it be the worst week in all of sports, not because Super Bowl media days, but because you have to get through National Signing Day for college football. And the kids who put the little hats on the table and they pick one of the hats. And the lies. And the people on Twitter with the threats and the begging and the, oh, it's so unattractive. ABC, baby. Always be cruttin'. Miami got a leg up on Florida over the weekend when one of their fans went to those one of the cornball rivals message boards and claimed that a player had taken a video on his phone of Florida Gators coaches offering him cash to attend Florida. Some people on Twitter pick this up, and all of a sudden it goes viral. And then the Miami fan who put this thing on the Rivals message board came out later and said, oh, it's just a joke. I was just making it up. I was trying to get my school an advantage over a heated rival. Good God! Message boards are an outdated and antiquated form of communication. 12 to 15 years ago called, they want their new, cool way of communicating back. If people will still fall for crap they hear and see on rivals' message boards about recruiting, you people need absolute lives, because you obviously have none to begin with. I'll be so glad when this National Signing Day crap is over, and then you don't have to hear these losers come out on the radio, and especially around here. These people know who they are. They've made a little bit of money in their lives. Talking about recruiting, and you never knock a man's hustle. God bless them for what they've done. Everybody needs to make a paycheck somehow. But for you fans that live and die based on these recruiting people and rankings and this stuff, God have mercy on your souls. That's all I'm going to say.
I invented a scholarship called the Dope Walker Scholarship. I said I only give it out once a lifetime, you know, type of thing. I think we had 30 of 1 year, but anyway.
He would literally walk into a high school, put his business card on the board and stick a $100 bill to it and tell a kid to call him.
Sage Steele is an anchor on ESPN, most known these days for being the host of the ABC ESPN NBA coverage. And while in Los Angeles over the weekend, she went to Instagram to post that she was very upset that the protesters at the airport had caused her flight to be delayed. Oh, never mind that our new President Trump issued an executive order barring refugees and immigrants from 7 countries from entering the United States. Who cares about that? Sage Steele's got to get make her plane. Sage Steele's got to get to Houston to cover the Super Bowl. Don't care about those families from Syria who had to be turned away and sent right back where they came from. Who cares about them? I got to make it to Texas so I can party it up at the Super Bowl. So Sage Steele, oh, poor little Sage Steele. I'm going to read you what her Instagram post says as she took a picture of all the protesters outside of the LA airport. And I quote, "So this is why thousands of us drag luggage nearly 2 miles to get to LAX, but still missed our flights. Fortunately, a 7-hour wait for the next flight to Houston won't affect me that much, but my heart sank for the elderly and parents with small children who did their best to walk all that way but had no chance of making their flights. I love witnessing people exercise their right to protest, but it saddened me to see the joy on their faces knowing that they were successful in disrupting so many people's travel plans. Yes, immigrants were affected by this as well. Brilliant. Are you kidding me, Sage Steele? Man, standing up for what's right just provokes so much inconvenience for so many people. I understand that it's very inconvenient for missing a flight, but don't you think the protest because of horrible regulations put on people from other countries, don't you think this is a little bit bigger than you, Sage Steele? I wonder what Sage Steele would have said to Rosa Parks back in the day. Oh, excuse me, ma'am. I don't have time for this. Some of us are trying to get home. Some of us are trying to get to the next destination. I know you're standing up for something that's a big deal, but can you find a different way to do it? Unbelievable. Heaven forbid you dragged your luggage nearly 2 miles. And something tells me, Sage Steele, it wasn't 2 miles. But like we say in life, it all depends on who you are. Of all the people at ESPN that could have gotten away with saying something like this, Sage Steele might be the one. Why? Let's just face facts. She is a woman. She's also a black woman. And I hate to say it, if a black man said this, if a white man said this, if a white woman said this, they'd have a much less chance of getting away with this than Sage Steele does because of who she is. And that is the bottom line. But for you to sit there and complain on social media because your poor little travel plans were affected by protesters protesting something way much bigger than you and way much bigger than the Super Bowl, you've lost your mind.
Your mama's so fat, she look like she's smuggling Volkswagen.
Mama's a big old greasy hoe.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, Smooth Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver! Yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, it's Mac Daddy Stogie time. We went 2 out of 3 on Saturday. We hit the first two, getting us to 11 in a row in our picks the last 2 weeks on this show. And then we lost the 12th game. Minnesota not being able to hold to their halftime lead against number 22 Maryland. So 11 out of our last 12 we have hit. And if you're looking for a game tonight, this is a tough game. Only 2 games in all of college basketball involving Power 5 teams. The first one, Oklahoma State plays Oklahoma. That game right now, a 1-point favorite is Oklahoma State at Oklahoma. The numbers all say Oklahoma State. The trends all say Oklahoma. This is the kind of game. Oklahoma State's a better team, but Oklahoma's in a much better spot. We'll stay away from this one. But the game we'll go with tonight, number 21 Duke facing number 20 Notre Dame, a 1-point favorite. And why not? Notre Dame has won 5 of their last 6 against Duke, including the last 2 years in the ACC tournament. But both of these teams, cold as ice right now. Notre Dame has lost 3 out of 4. Duke has lost 3 out of 5. But there's some steam going on in this game. And when we say steam, we're saying that a lot of the public money is on one side, and that's Notre Dame. Notre Dame has 61% of the money right now. But the line that started Notre Dame -2.5 has already dropped to Notre Dame -1. So public money on one side, but the line goes to the other side. That's a steam bet, and that's a time you kind of like to go and follow the line, whichever side that's going. So although Duke doesn't have much in their corner in this game, we're going to take him tonight. Upset special, if you can call it that, with a one-point line. Number 21 Duke will upset, using that term loosely, number 20 Notre Dame at Notre Dame, and that'll be our upset special of the night. And you can take that bad boy to the desert and smoke it.
Don't they realize, Paulie, yeah, that I was born in Las Vegas, Nevada, Jack? I grew up not on a baby bottle. I grew up spinning the roulette wheel. I grew up playing five-card stud. I grew up pulling slot handles. I'm a gambler from the day I was born, and I'll gamble to the day I die. But you remember one thing. In Las Vegas, they always got a whole card.
And that does it for the Monday, January 30th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. Email anytime, BottomLineLex@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.